Welcome to the ETOP Podcast with your host, Richard Walsh. I'm a 30-year business-owning veteran, creator of the ETOP Academy, and best-selling author of Escape the Owner Prison, the contract's new way to scale, regain control, and fast-track growth while loving life. My mission? To help 10,000 business owners create the freedom in their lives to do what they want, when they want, and still be massively successful. Now, let's hit our topic for the day.
And back here on the ETOP Podcast with today's guest, Jan Cavell. Jan is the author of Scale for Success. And I'm excited to talk to Jan because she's not only an author, but decades of entrepreneurial experience, scaling, growing companies. And that's what it's all about, right? That's what ETOP's about. It's really growing your business, creating freedom for yourself, making your business work for you instead of you work for it. So we are going to talk to Jan about all those aspects. So this is going to be a great conversation. So with no further ado, Jan, come on board. How are you doing today?
Richard, I'm okay. Thank you very, very much. Happy Easter again. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, awesome. I want to get into this. So let's bring my listeners up to speed on kind of your background. So give us your highlights, whatever you want to share with. We get to know you a little bit better than we get into.
My highlights and so forth, Richard. Right. I have had a very long career in entrepreneurship, and I have mostly had very small businesses in my late teens, early 20s, the sort of self-employed or one or two people type of business. And then come my 30s, I became a single parent with two small children to support. And so I had to take business a lot more seriously and took on a business, which I did end up scaling literally from a kitchen table up to the multi-million mark, and had a couple of sort of side hustles as well during the many years that I had that. I had the main business there for a lot of years, and I loved just the sheer name of your podcast when I first came across it, because I saw for myself how things can change and business can become a prison, actually. Which my one was towards the end. I had many happy years, but it can as well turn sour and become a prison. So I particularly was enthused to come and chat to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's a very common thing. I mean, that's why I have a coaching program, and I've seen this year after year. I experienced it myself, of course, in a big way. And it's so easy. I always tell people, as an entrepreneur, we have a work ethic, right? We love our business. We're passionate about it. We're going to grow it, do everything it takes. The problem is we think that's the norm, the 14 hours a day, the 12 hours, a day, the 16 hours a day, 60, 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week. And there's some reality to that in the very beginning, you know, but I think, and you can probably attest to this, I don't think people set they don't set the timer right, right? Okay, I get I'm going to do that, but for how long? When am I going to reduce it down to 30 and 20, and then what am I, you know what I mean? So it's that thing, and we get so caught on the hamster wheel of making business happen, and this is it's regardless of success, right? I made a lot of money and you're getting things, but there's a very unbalanced existence there. Would you agree?
I do agree, definitely. And you know, you as you say, you get obsessed by it. And it doesn't seem to matter whether you're at which level of success you've got to, but you get obsessed by keeping it going or taking the next step or getting it better or whatever it is. So you can be obsessed at absolutely any size, stage or relationship with your business. But it takes a tremendous toll. You can do it for so many years and then all of a sudden you begin to get tired. And what can easily happen is as you get tired, you get less effective. And so the business does less well. And so you struggle harder and you get less well. And the whole thing becomes a really vicious circle, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what do you do? Because you in your book, Scale for Success, okay, because that's what we're all about, right? We all want to scale. We all want to be successful, being Captain Obvious here. But at the same time, you know, everyone's got a different view on what success is, you know, to be able to do it and still have freedom, enjoy your family, enjoy, you know, extracurricular activities outside of the business can be difficult. So what's kind of your process? You know, how do you look at it from the beginning, whether it's from the startup phase or midway in a business, you realize you got to make that turn. Where do you go from there?
Well, I think, it was one of the reasons I wrote Scale for Success was because I saw so many mistakes that I'd made, but I was really keen for perhaps other people not to make the same ones, and felt that what I'd learned from those experiences and from talking to other people in retrospect might be really useful. And I think having one of the biggest lessons I learned, and there are loads of them which I'm sure we'll discuss, but one of the biggest lessons was to actually be much, much clearer about what you want and what success is to you. Because a lot of us drift into businesses, and we so happen to do very well. For me, I was always strong on sales. So the business went, you know, sell, 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 grow, grow, grow. But without a very clear definition of why, what, how, where it was going, just a big must be good, mustn't it? Because that's what everybody tells you. And that's very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous because there's a disconnect between actually what you want out of it for your life. And, you know, you also miss vital processes which you actually need to put in place as you grow. So I really wanted to firstly try and stop a few people doing that, because so many people do. They drift bigger.
Right. You know, that, and that's, I like that, drift bigger, because people often think you drift into insignificance and nothingness, right? And failure. but like that, you can, because again, being a driven, ambitious individual, you're going to drive. And if you're big on sales, I mean, that's what every business needs, right? We need sales. No sales, no business, no nothing. So you want to drive that. And that can be a little addictive.
Absolutely.
You know, right? The next big deal, going to the next level. And you start to measure by that number. And I think that's where you get in the dangerous territory. That becomes your only, you know, KPI, right? That's it. I've made this, I'm going to be a 10 million revenue guy, I'm going to be 100 million revenue, and that's all you're focused on. And that can be kind of disastrous, right?
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. It can be disastrous for you, because you can lose sight of that balance and the home life and doing things for yourself and all the stuff you were talking about. And it can be disastrous for your business as well, because all you'll be concentrating on is getting that work done, servicing the work, without actually firming up the business processes behind it and making sure you grow right. So it can be double disaster like that. But it's so easy to do, particularly, as you say, if you're strong in sales. It's very exciting, you know, when you find you've doubled or tripled or whatever that year. You know, who's going to turn it down?
Right. That's a great point. You know, I think there comes a sustainability aspect too. You know, because you, like you said, you're running hard. Like you mentioned, you're running, all of a sudden 2-3 years goes in, you're still at that high 70-80 hours a week. Yes, you're generating income, and all of a sudden you don't realize you're slowing, but you're slowing, and the burnout comes because the business really isn't sustainable without you. That's what you do. That's what our Escape the Owner Prison thing is, right? As long as you're selling, as long as you're pushing, as long as you're driving forward, the business is going to do well. But if you take a week off, you're going to see a slump. A month off, you're going to see a slump, because you probably never take a month off. Okay, so we want to build a business that we're able to do that, right?
So right. Yeah, absolutely, Richard. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's so, you know, I always look at this because I see a lot of people in you know, different industries, you know, some industries, like say in our roofing industry, the storm industry, right? So these guys, a hailstorm comes, they can go out and they can generate 3 million, 6 million, 10 million, 20, 30 million in a season. Okay, that's a big number.
It's certainly a big number. And it's not, I mean, I'm just digesting that because it's not a business we have over here and not one I'd ever thought of, but fascinating. Yes, go on.
Yeah, so it is fascinating. And here's the thing, as I tell people, I mean, I'm all for making money, but a lot of those companies, they literally can be gone the following year. And not because there isn't work to do, they can travel and do everything else, but they're selling and they have stuff and they're putting things on a roof and they're done, but there's no, again, there's no long-term thought.
No.
Right. What am I going to do when I do 30 million a year when last year I made 1 million and then one jumped, you know, 3,000%.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I'd not self-thought of that. You know, and with such a seasonal business, that must be bring its peculiar challenges as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's guys who do a phenomenal job at it. They're great at it. But you have to still build a business. You know, and the hard part about that industry in general is all you're selling is sales.
Yeah.
Okay. It's difficult to build a business that you can now exit, right? And you can sell to someone because what are they buying? Right. You don't get to buy a hailstorm. Okay. You don't know when or where you're going to go to do it. You know, maybe you got vehicles. A lot of these guys use 1099 contractors, guys with their own trucks. They're selling.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting industry. So I think in the planning of that, you have to look like, well, I'm going to make X amount of dollars, and that's going to be my exit strategy is the money I make, right? You're not going to have a business to sell, really.
No. You know,
it's done in a certain way. And there's some guys who have something substantial, but a lot of guys, they don't.
That's fascinating. Like I say, it's not an industry I'd come across at all. So made my afternoon.
But Jan, that's the beauty of business. There is so many ways to make money.
Yeah.
Right. Create something that is a service and a value to people. And that's what I love about business. It is never boring. It never gets mundane. It never gets, you know, oh, it's just another business, because everyone is unique and they all have their own challenges. Right. But there's still principles, okay, that have to be in place for you to really successfully scale, be sustainable, build something that someone else would want to purchase from you, right? Part of having an exit strategy. So, you know, is that kind of your approach as you do your scaling? Is that how you're looking?
It is now. It wasn't then. I mean, I think like many people, initially I was obsessed by providing for children. So I wasn't thinking much past their sort of 18th, 21st or whatever, you know, once they were educated, that was what it was all about. And after that, you know, I was a bit, what now? What was all that? You know, what were those sort of 12, 15 years, you know, working myself into the ground to buy? I mean, fantastic. And I did it and, you know, all good. But now what? I probably should do more of the same, shouldn't I? And it just lost its purpose. But I agree that I think one of the biggest another of the big mistakes that people do is not thinking about the end game and where they're going to exit, because we do create these businesses. And so many people say, oh, well, you know, it's my livelihood, or I love my business, they're going to have to drag me out of here and one thing and another. And yet, you know, it's the same as any other relationship. Relationships change, and our relationship with our businesses can change. And you know, what, we may be ill, the business may be ill, or, you know, what other catastrophe or life-changing events might happen, or we just might fall out of love with each other. But whatever happens, we might not want that business one day, and you need an exit plan. You really do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I preach like the strategy all the time. It's the second course in my ETOP Academy. There we
go. Oh, we do talk the same language. Isn't that great?
And I got concept of creation, stage two, exit strategy. You know, before anything else, it's all about the vision, how much is enough, how you can do it, how you can build passive income. We want to put all this stuff together. It's really, really important. And the thing is, like you said, there's so many variables that, and the worst thing is having your business taken out, not on your terms.
Yeah.
And I'm raising my hand. It happened to me. So I know this firsthand. You want to get out on your terms. Right. And if you build to scale, if you build with an exit in mind, you're building value constantly in your business. Right. You're always, you got your systems, your processes, this thing will run without you, because you might want to go in 8 years and you might want to get out. But at year five and a half, some thing like COVID or something happens. Yeah. Who knows? right? Some crazy thing could happen that's going to alter where you're at. And then you're going to have to limp through and survive. Or this could be a great opportunity for you to exit because you can actually benefit from that, right? Because you put all the right things in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it, you know, particularly with writing scale and doing research, and the people I interview now are probably similar to yourself with your podcast, because I write a lot of interviews. I don't have a podcast, but I speak to a lot of very interesting people and, you know, who've got businesses, and all the ones who've done it and have been successful have had a really, really clear plan of where they're going in that exit plan.
Yeah, it's I don't think we can emphasize that enough, Jan, that the clarity in your full mission, okay? Yeah. And that means, you know, if I go to war, my mission is to win, right? And now let's break down the plan to do that. You know, here's how we're going to do it. So your mission should be to win. Again, that's not making a bigger paycheck. That's not increasing your revenue. That's not a win, yeah. Okay? Win is going to be coming building that business, right? That's sustainable, self-sufficient. You know, again, you can doesn't need you to open the door every day, as I like to tell people. If I don't turn the key, nothing happens, right? That's not my kind of business, okay? No. That was business, but I don't encourage anyone to have a business like that unless you want to have misery, you know, and possible failure every week. You know, you can be on the brink of failure. You don't even realize it, right? A lot of people you've interviewed, I'm sure, just like I was years ago, you get rolling and it just, I always tell people, if I need money, I just go make more. You know, whatever I need, I just was able to do it. But there was those factors that came where that no longer is an option.
I agree. And I think, unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, people lose sight of the idea that actually we're in business to make money. You know, they get sidetracked by growth, for example. You know, it's all very well growing, but if you're making less money than you were before, you know, why do it? You know, that's the obvious one. But you know, we just do. We get obsessed by lots and lots of different aspects of our business. And wouldn't it be brilliant to do this? And why not do that? And we lose fact, you know, that essential fact of growing the value of a business and the revenue goes out the window, which is just mental to me.
Yeah, I think what, like you said, is that what we'll call shiny object syndrome, right? As an entrepreneur, you're driven, there's another opportunity. Maybe it works for my business. Maybe it doesn't. I'll jump over there. You know, when you stay in, when you're building one business, make that business great. You know, again, the exit strategy is so important, right? You need that complete clarity to understand where the mission is. And I can't go over and fight this battle because I'm involved in this battle. Yeah. Right? I divide my forces. I have to stay focused till I get my victory. You know,
Absolutely agree. And it's interesting, there's a guy who is in the book who, and I don't know what you feel about this one, but I mean, he recommends that every entrepreneur from about sort of 500K turnover upwards actually practices buying and selling a business, just buying a distressed business for, you know, a dollar and you know, just practicing the whole rigmarole of, you know, increasing the value and reselling it, so that if that moment comes and catches you unawares, you've got some experience of what's involved in putting together a deal for a sale, so that you're not scared and completely out of your depths with it, which can easily happen too.
Yeah, it's good you mentioned that, because I have said that multiple times, to go practice, see what it is. I was on a bike. Go and go try to buy a business. You don't have to buy. You don't have to write a check. Go through the process. See what they have. What do they build? What are they selling?
Yeah.
Oh, they're at, you know, $1.2 million. Well, I wouldn't give you $200,000 for that. You got nothing. You know, but what is it? What do they value business on? What's the actual valuation based on, right?
Yeah.
And then, I can do that. I don't do that in my business, but I should. I see how they're getting it. So I think it's an outstanding recommendation. I always tell people, because then you can keep building that business with those things in mind and make it like, maybe it's every year, you know, maybe it's the second year you go out and let's look. Because also with your growth strategies, and tell me if you agree with this, Jan, I mean, you're usually looking to pick up market share, right?
Definitely.
And that can be a part of your plan. You're going to go buy XYZ company so I can grab this territory. So
undoubtedly, I mean, it's got so much going for it because you, as you say, you can do that. You know, you can add to the value of what you're doing, where you're offering it, and the bottom line of your business, and practice, you know, the buying and selling. So you gain in that knowledge and understand what really counts for value in your business as well. I mean, it's just so many wins in one.
Yeah, it's a great exercise, and I do highly recommend that people do it because we get, and I'm this way, I'm a very tunnel visioned, I'm a man, so I got that focus on one thing.
I'm not saying a word, Richard.
So just ask my wife, but it's just, you know, to do that, you don't always see what's outside.
No.
You know, it's the best way, and you're going to drive forward, and I did it. It took me twice as long, and it was twice as hard, but I achieved because I got this Marine mentality of just put the shoulder down until I win. But don't do that. You know, I tell people, don't do that. You know, so go look at those businesses, you know, right? Look the purchase, see what they're offering, see what's out there, because you may get the ultimate golden nugget that could change your whole business just from a visit or going through that process. It can be amazing.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, you know, when people get into this, like, you know, once they develop their clarity, right, and they got the clarity, they got the exit strategy in place, and they start moving. You know, what I found was, and I always tell people, I go, you know, 0 to 1 million, I can do that by myself, right? I don't need, you can, don't, I mean, I just, people think it's a big number, and we know in business, it's really not a big number, but you can get to the seven-figure mark, the $1 million. You can hit that on your own. You'll be tired. You're going to work hard. It's all good. You can do that. But once you start hitting the 3 million, the 5 million and up, okay, that involves others. And a lot, and could be a lot of others, could be the key personnel. So what have you found in that realm when they start to hit those marks?
I mean, I think firstly, you're completely right. I think whatever sector you're in, somewhere in, it's sort of between 1 and 2 mil, you know, about the actual whole shape and type of having a business changes. And I think that's why it's such a big deal. And again, that comes into the reason behind my thinking of writing Scale for Success, because you're looking at a completely different thing. You're looking at building a separate entity as opposed to something you do, you know, and it is, as you rightly say, is completely, you know, in your control, even if there are other people involved, but it's all, you know, you doing your business. Whereas up from that, you're all of a sudden needing a management team, for one thing. You cannot do it on your own anymore. And it's a great skill to be able to find and build a great management team. And so many people run into trouble about it. And I'd love to hear what you advise people to do about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, we call it building a team, right? It's, you know, we start with our basic philosophy is, you know, hire slowly, fire quickly.
Yeah, agree with that one. Yep.
So
but one then rotten apple.
It's understanding the interview process, what the actual position is, what you need to fulfill, what's your company culture going to be like? That would be in our exit strategy conversation. Okay. Like what are we actually building here? How are you going to build something that's going to attract the best people? You know, so you got to have a lot of little things in place before you can start that process. Because a lot of people, again, they're selling, I'm making money. Okay. And you hire someone, but you still have this kind of thing, this little sales machine, and that's all you have. You know, it's going to be difficult. You might attract some great people because of the you know, the perceived growth trajectory, but they're not going to be able to stay because they're not going to have the purpose. They're not going to have the contribution. You're not going to understand exactly what, you know, what the main purpose is, right? And these people need to be a part of that. So I think for me, bringing people on, they have to buy into the whole mission.
As in buy equity as well as buy information, or both one?
Yeah, exactly. So people are driven by money alone.
Okay? Yeah.
I always tell people, well, I pay them really well. Well, that's just a bribe. Okay. That's a bribe. Okay. They're not going to stay for that because the next guy who dangles a little, you know, a little more money in front of them, a new carrot, they're going to leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's not why people do. And people really have to get over that thought process that money is why people stay somewhere. Like way on the priority scale. It really is. Because I don't know if you've ever had somebody just hate doing, Okay. There's no money in the world that's going to make you stay there. You're always going to be looking and exiting, which you're not going to give your best to that current business.
I agree totally. I think you've got to have, take money off the table so most people don't feel they're insulted, underpaid, and undervalued. But after that, it takes a great deal more to buy, well, to inspire, not to buy, to inspire somebody's loyalty and to get them to buy in.
Yeah, you know, and you just said the what I think is the number one thing you're looking for in an employee or a team member, and that's loyalty.
Yeah.
Loyalty is where it's at. You know, there's a lot of other factors. I get it. But loyalty, that's going to make a difference. When things get tight, when things get tough, when you have serious challenges, that loyalty will keep that team there. And yeah, they're going to. I think loyalty is just a huge thing.
That it is. That it is. And, it, you know, I think this is another thing that I came to conclusion from my research was that the people, again, who were really successful had also got great leadership skills, obviously, and had worked to both develop and care for themselves so that they could offer those great leadership skills. I was a great one for making a mistake of thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll put myself last. Everybody else can go off on holiday because not everybody can go. I'll work late tonight, da, 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 da. And that must be the right thing to do. And I think that's a really easy trap to fall into because I think, you know, inevitably, then you're the one who's tired, grouchy, and no use the next day, you know. And so, you know, you've got to actually treat yourself really outstandingly well so that you've got the energy to be a great leader and to have time, take time to invest in self-development as well. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, that's an outstanding point. I mean, in e-topics, keep your owner presence up. That's, I mean, we preach that because, again, part of your exit strategy, part of the clarity, you have to build a business that's self-sustainable, right? But yeah, you have to empower your people. It doesn't mean you have to put an excessive burden on anyone. You got to spread it around, right? But they have to have very distinct responsibilities. It's when you're trying to wear every hat that you get in trouble, right? And that let all them go and I'll stay and work late. Look at me. I get a lot of guys like that. And they're just, listen, you got to put the ego in a box somewhere. You got to get your ego out. Cause a lot of it is because just showing that I can do more than you, you know, I can work hard. I'm the owner and you're always going to, it's your business. You're always going to care more, going to do more, but you can't let it be this competition, right? Where that you're going to just outwork everyone who works for you because you're going to, that's a rotten culture to build, I think.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. As I say, I know I was very bad at it. And it's a huge, huge drawback. You know, you'll just burn out in the end if you do it. And like I say, you won't develop your skills as a leader. And if you don't develop as a leader, you won't inspire anybody.
Yeah, that's pretty true. I remember we had six little kids and I was really tired. Right. And I'm in my office, I'm the office manager, and I'm talking to, and I just kind of fell forward and hit my head on the desk, you know, falling asleep. And then she's like, why don't you go take a nap or something? Go like in the shop and take a nap. No, I got to get this stuff done. See, that's really stupid.
I know, but we all do it, don't we? I mean, we have this conviction that, everybody would hate us and think we're really bad leaders if we dared say, you know, actually, I do need to go home and get a good night's sleep, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah. I talked about personal development, which I believe in. It's huge, okay? And as a leader, it's a never-ending quest, all right? You don't reach some magical point where you don't need to work on yourself anymore. And that is like one of the little indicators, like you need to work on yourself. I'm falling asleep at the desk and myself because I shouldn't be in this position, right? I've compromised my leadership abilities for I'll go back to my ego, my drive to work more and that I'm the only one who can get this done, which is just nonsense. Okay. And you really have to work on yourself to be able to let go, to be able to delegate, eliminate. You know, make the right things happen and give the people the power to do things because they're going to grow your company so much better than you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you're the only one, but you get the right people, you create the right culture,
They were, I was going to say that, that of course, is a proviso. You know, the first thing you ought to be asking yourself if you say, you know, I can't do it, it's me who's got to do it, is have I got the right people? Because if you can't leave it to them, then you've got wrong people and you need to move that pretty damn fast.
No, you're right. And that, and that's, it's important because it's easy. Well, I hired someone, they can handle everything, and then you don't pay attention to them anymore, meaning yeah. that you watch their performance. You don't into the culture, to the position. Are they bringing great stuff to your desk? You know, yeah. they have ideas that they solve problems. They may just be, you know, doing the minimum, which too many people do. You know, they do yeah, nothing.
Sadly.
And, you know, they don't have the right mindset there either. So back on personal development, you know, you want to incorporate that into your team too. You want to give them opportunities, right, to be able to develop themselves because they need to be the best that they can be so they can contribute to the company.
I agree. I mean, I think luckily there has been a shift in the job market or the team market, is to put it in a better way, over the sort of last 5-10 years that people are, but starting with millennials onwards, you know, people are actually expecting and wanting and looking for jobs which offer self-development. And, you know, which is great and quite right too. And we all need to provide that for our teams, you know, it, and I find it odd that that's, to some extent, that's come on as for leaders as well, but not perhaps to the same degree of acceptance.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, I like to use the word fulfillment, you know, I mean, as a business owner, I want to be, you know, fulfilled, again, not just my business, my overall life. And I think a lot of times leaders, business owners don't convey that or don't share that belief with their people, right? Their teams. They don't let them, well, you should too. Because not everyone's an owner. People get that, oh, they're going to go start their own company. Well, God bless them. That's great. If I train enough and they go do that, I'm going to have healthy competition. I like that. Okay. And then they know what they're getting into. Okay, so, yeah,
not just, you
know, right? But from there, but like you really should be encouraging, like, here's what I do. This has really helped me. Mm. You know, you tried this. You know, here, I'm going to give you guys access to this. I'm sending the seminar. I'm going to bring in the speaker. I'm going to do things to help you guys be better.
Yeah.
You know, because they want the appreciation. They want to know that you're there really to help them, not just to have them chain themselves to a desk for 8 hours and then go home and be.
I agree. And like I said, I do think luckily there has been a big shift, so much so actually with the unemployment over here. I was interested in listening to James Kahn, the sort of British businessman who is quite a big cheese over here. And he was saying recently on social media and on a short video, you know, that actually people need to start thinking about what they bring to a company as well. And he obviously feels it's gone so far the other way, but it's all got to be about what is this company going to do for me? That, you know, people in the job market actually need reminding that it's a two-way street and they have to bring something to the table to make it a good deal on both sides.
Yeah, that's important because it does get lopsided, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you go back, you know, 100 years and kind of look at the ebb and flow of that as well. But I think that's a really good insight that people do need to, because, you know, again, back to the interviewing process, you know, what am I looking for? Mm. You know, if I'm looking for the best, I'm looking for A players only, which I preach a lot. You know, I mean, they have to bring a lot because I feel the best employees, you know, the best team members are free.
Yeah.
They make me money.
Yeah,
they are
absolutely.
They're an asset to my company and not a liability. And we all know if we've ever experienced, whether it's one employee or 50, as a friend of mine says, ticking time bombs. Okay. It's not if, it's when they're going to go off. Okay. So we got to, like, how do you shield yourself? But that's because you got to, there's just a lot of work involved in creating the right team. Would you agree? I mean, just the time in and the things you have to think about.
It's very, not so secret ingredient, it's the essential ingredient to a successful company, I think. You know, everything else can follow, because if you've got You're right, team. Again, somebody in the Scale for Success says, and he won all sorts of awards from the sort of Sunday Times onwards of best company to work for, sort of thing. And had a hugely successful company in the end when he sold it. But, he got into a lot of trouble because he used to say that the customer isn't king. The people are the king, because we can serve the customer in that way if we've got the right people. And it makes total sense to me that, looking after the people first, then everybody performs best for the business and the best for the customer.
Yeah, I mean, that's right on mark, because if your people are miserable, how can you hear that over the phone? Okay, you don't have face to face. They can get misery over people can pick up misery over the telephone. You know what I mean? So you gotta, it doesn't mean they gotta have little games to play all day and you're taking them for lunch and you're over the top. It's not just babying people. It's really, again, empowering them and training them and giving resources to do the best of their job and actually wanting their contribution to problems. And here's this. I talk a lot with building systems and processes, Jen. I'll say, well, I want to get that, whether it's an office manager or whoever, you're going to start building. Well, what would you do? It took you 6 weeks to get up to speed when I first brought you in. How do we get that 3 days? When you got to take a week off or a month off or, maternity leave or whatever might happen, I got to bring someone in and get up to speed. I can't take 6 weeks, to get them up to speed. So, and they'll love creating the videos and making all the systems and click by click. And again, that's empowering them and giving them the ability to do that. It doesn't mean so they can be replaced. It means we've got a really, really simple system that can make all of our jobs easier and they have to go to.
Definitely, definitely. And, again, sort of, talking about another entrepreneur I've interviewed, but there's an Australian entrepreneur called David Jennings, who's also an author. And he has written a book called Systemology, but he would argue that, which I have to say I agree with in my experience, and I don't know what you think about this, that an awful lot of entrepreneurs sort of roll their eyes and glaze over when it comes to writing systems. It's just not our sort of thing. And he says that there's always somebody in the organization who actually loves writing systems. And if you can just, it's slightly more complicated than that, what he says, but if you can, sort of get the single flow right once, they can take it and roll it from there. And then, as you said, we're just saying, sort of constantly develop it further and cut those days down on how to do it and how to do it well and efficiently. And then you've got a systemized business, which of course is worth money and, means that you can have holidays and all those dream things that you thought weren't possible.
Yeah, exactly. I think we talk about that being, we're an entrepreneur, like you just said, that's probably the most difficult thing you have to do in your business, because you don't want to, you want to sell, you want to work on the vision, but you're talking like you're actually going to put me in a cubicle and tell me to build a system. Okay, well, I'd rather go to prison. But you find the right person, I love it. Again, team.
Exactly.
Maybe you literally have to hire out for that. There's a assistant, or bring someone in for a month, 6 months, and like, hey, here's what I need to do. Find an expert, bring them in. It's worth every penny you're going to invest in.
I agree.
Yeah.
The other one, interesting enough, that I think that entrepreneurs are all bad about and therefore don't value enough, and that's procurement. We also think about that as being a system that's dull and tedious and and it's not sales and it's not inspiring, whereas in fact, it's a huge amount of your success can lie in getting the right supply chain, that's quality, that's economic, that's risk-proofed, and all the rest to go with it. And yet, entrepreneurs hate it when you talk procurement.
Yeah, no, you're right. I have a section in the academy where we talk about that. The saving.
I haven't been on your course, I promise.
you make me feel good. I'm glad now. No one thinks this way. It was a good thing. So, but you don't realize, from a profitability standpoint, that procurement stuff, that can be a game changer.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about a few dollars.
Yeah.
You can be in the, you know, depending on the level of your business, it can be in the seven-figure range.
Absolutely. Right?
That's found money. I took it, that's found. That's like you look down and there's $1 million in a briefcase and it says your name on it. I mean, that's found money that you were willing to give away because you were too lazy or unwilling to, like you said, work on the procurement aspect. You know, how can I fine tune this stuff? Now, here's a point I'll make real quick, Jan, is we talk about focusing on your 5% only as an owner, right? So delegating all this stuff, knowing things you can do. That's one of those things that you, when you create the time, you're not doing everything that you can actually, you know, even if you don't like it, you know, you can focus on getting the people who do and making that happen. Then you can go back to being excited about your bottom line getting better.
That's the trick, isn't it? Yeah, it's getting rid of the stuff that you don't like doing so you are excited again. And if more you get bogged down in stuff that makes you miserable, the less excited you are about your business and the less well your business will do.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right on that. And I think it's, I think as entrepreneurs, we need a reminder of that. You know, you need to be kind of, you know, I'll say shoved a little bit. Like, yo, we got to stop. Okay, you got to talk about, you're doing this stuff that anybody can do.
Yeah.
You don't think they can, but trust me, anyone can do this stuff. You need to get those people and get them so you work on the big stuff.
Yeah.
You know, really big stuff needs to be worked on that you will be excited about working on.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, go on.
No, it's okay. What would be your, I'm just trying to think, you know, it's because we've all got our methods of going about this stuff, you know, so. You know, mine is like you begin to hire sooner than you think, right? Often people want to make the money. So kind of where are you at on that? And like, you know, getting together, when do you start?
Total agreement. I mean, one of the things I will always say is, you know, when you're budgeting, especially for important positions, you know, the more important, the more so, because obviously it takes a while to embed them as well. But actually, the biggest mistakes you'll make in business are probably wrong hires. And so, you know, if you want somebody in February, you know, allow for their, you know, as you can see it on your business plan, allow to take them on in maybe November. And if you do take them on early, they'll make the extra salary, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, then you've got loads of extra time if you haven't quite found the right person, because the right person is going to make so much, so much difference to it. Vis-a-vis the wrong person who could pollute your whole business.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we're definitely on the same page with that, because, you know, one little cancer might be in the tip of your finger. Okay, you got to cut the finger off.
Yeah.
Okay, you gotta stay there. It's going to take out the hand and the whole body. So that's really important. But I like that, you know, you set a time frame, like you said, you know, I set February, by February, you know, next year, I'm going to have this person. But come November, like, we could do it now. And I always encourage, because people think they, again, this is a self-development issue too, but the money, the scarcity, the money aspect, I don't have the ability to do it. Trust me, look at your life. Anything you've truly wanted, you got. Okay, you found the money, you did, especially as an entrepreneur. You have magical ways of finding ways to get things done.
True, yeah.
Put focus on those people, because again, they're going to generate more income for you. They're going to free you up to do bigger things. So that's a priority investment, is to get people on the team.
Definitely, definitely, definitely.
Oh, that's awesome. Jan, this has been really, really great. I want to give us 1 to 3. This is my secret trick question. It's not a trick. Just give us 3 high points that you like, that's kind of a basis of what you do. Your book is your top 3 recommendations for a business. We've talked about a lot in this interview, but if you boil it down, what's kind of your top 1 to 3 go-tos when you're dealing with people?
When you're dealing with people, or just generally an advice on business?
Yeah, guys in business, they want to start the scaling process.
Let's start scaling.
I will give you
Planet is the first one, definitely, because strategy is going to be crucial. You know, your staff and team are going to be crucial. So just as we were saying, those take a long time to look for. And you might even be looking for co-founders, and that's certainly not something to risk, to rush into. But strategy, getting the right strategy and the systems in place, you need to do that beforehand, not during, or worse still, after. You know, it's all... a question of putting the right foundations in place for that business to be able to scale both successfully and sustainably. You know, if you're strong at sales, you might be able to push up and go crazy and grow to quite a big size. But if the foundations aren't there, you're going to come crashing. Yeah, so that's definitely number one. Number two, yeah, right team and anybody wrong, any rotten apple, get them out very fast. It doesn't matter how good they are at their job. If their attitude's wrong, they're poison. And number three, it's got to be looking after yourself, right? Got to be.
Well, I love that. That's those are three great tips. The foundational stuff, and believe me, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, they just struggle with this. You know, they want to get going. They want to make money. You've got to build the foundations. Yeah. No one attracted your company with systems, processes in place. They need to know the job expectations, the boundaries, what's actually expected, what they're going to be doing. You know, they come in, it's just a giant hot mess. Okay, they're leaving. I mean, I tell people, they'll be checking, they'll be writing resumes on your computer, okay, and sending them out, okay, from your place. Okay, so that's just, it's so critical to know that it, as hard as it is, it needs to be a very, very top priority to get that stuff in place. Yeah, I love it. And it's, Again, building the right team is great. And then the working on yourself. You know, this is what Escape the Owner Prison is about. This is what you're talking about here with Scale Success. This is what is important, but you've got it. You can't be putting yourself last.
No.
Okay. I mean, because this isn't the, you know, the high and mighty, I'm in my tower. It's not that. It's that you've got to focus on you, because it's the old airplane analogy, right? When the air masks drop down, what do they say? Put yours on first before helping the children.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to be in control. You've got to be rested. You've got to be the most energetic. Okay. You've got to be able to fulfill the vision and drive this home. So you really have to be able to work on yourself and not, again, it's the on it, not in it kind of principle. I get all that. But really, it's about developing yourself, being healthy, you know, being able to bring the best to your people so that they can emulate you, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, people follow people, you know, be that person that you want your people to be.
Definitely. Really. Definitely. Definitely. So right, Richard.
Well, that's awesome. So Jan, give us a way for people to either, you know, and I'll put all this in the show notes, of course, get your book. Okay. I know it's on Kindle now. Paperback will be out in the States in July, I think,
that's
right?
That's right. That's okay. Right. It's out in Kindle now. So it's dead easy from somewhere like Amazon to get it on Kindle. And it's pre-orderable, if there is such a word, from in the hardback copy from places like Barnes & Noble and Amazon as well. And so I'm told all good bookshops. And then to get hold of me, you are very, very welcome to get in contact via my website and have a look at what I do, read more about the book and other entrepreneurs. And that's Jan Cavell, and I'm .co.uk.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. We'll put those in the show notes. I definitely encourage people to get your book and read it. Okay. As entrepreneurs, it's part of the self-development aspect. You need to read. You need to read about other people's success. You need to read about methods, process, everything else. I always encourage that is one of the great sources out there to improve your business.
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, people like you who have taken the time to interview people, author a book, put all this stuff, you know, being what they call a knowledge broker, right? You're able to put all this stuff in one place for someone. I mean, that's valuable. That's really, really, I mean, we've talked about a lot of stuff, just shared stuff today that, you know, it's got my mind ticking. We go back and forth, but books are like that too. So I just want to encourage people to read. Appreciate us poor authors who just work our books, right? But it's all good. We do it for you. We did all this for you. It's not for us. So yeah, Jan, this has been fantastic. Thank you all the way from England. South of England, I love it. I've had a few people from England. It's been great. And I appreciate you taking the time to be here with us, sharing your ideas, and I continue success in the book. I think it comes out in paperback. I hope it kills it, and you deserve it all.
Thank you so, so much, Richard. It's been my total pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the ETOP podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you liked what you've heard, please leave a great review for us. Your subscription and review helps us reach more people so we can show them how to escape the owner prison. Also, check out the links in the show notes about today's guests and more ways to connect with ETOP on social media. Stay strong and keep moving forward with your business.